And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one, Alabama. I'm talking about this show. I mean, it goes way on down south of Birmingham, way up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, all the way back over to Gadsden, and parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, you hear the advertising, by the way, during the breaks, right? Just know this, Right Side Radio, we are a 501c3. We are a separate organization. We are not owned by the stations that you hear us playing on. If you want to see Right Side Radio continue on, you may want to consider, hey, do I want to be an advertiser? Because that's one of the ways that we support what we do. If you want to advertise with us because you hear us talking, you're thinking, man, those guys got it going on, and they sound like the way I think, and I want my business aligned with their messaging, then talk to us. And the way to do that is not call the station. You got to contact us. So just go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising and contact tab and send us a message, and we will get back in touch ASAP. So we'd love to have you on the team. Advertise at Right Side Radio. Just go to rightsideradio.org, and we will go from there. All right, listen, it's that time, man. I am I'm like neck deep in some wokeness right now. I'm like wading in it with my feet mired in the clay of wokeness. But nay, I tell you, we shall rise above. We shall enter into what I call Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
All right, listen, you know the deal. Sometimes I find these stories, I'm thinking, how in the world? That's ridiculous. That's hilarious. That is eye-rolling. Sometimes it's maddening, all right? We got a cornucopia, a plethora, a vast buffet, if you will, of wokeness. Let me take this first story. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so July 17th, that would be yesterday. Story on Blaze Media. Headline. You ready for this? Algebra 1, effectively, now, by the way, I would never have minded not having to do algebra. Just saying. Algebra 1 effectively eliminated from Harvard area middle schools because too many white and Asian students were taking it. Okay. What? So, first of all, this is in and around the Harvard area. In fact, a lot of the parents who are professors and faculty at Harvard have their kids in this school system. It says a school district in Massachusetts has been slowly phasing out Algebra 1 of its middle school curriculum because the advanced math classes were predominantly being taken by white and Asian students. Now, some area parents are considering placing their children in private schools or homeschooling to ensure they are adequately prepared for high school mathematics. Unbelievable. Now, this is not just a notion. This is confirmed. Since 2017, it says, over the last 6 years, Cambridge Public Schools has been slowly moving away from placing middle school students into grade level or accelerated grade level. Why not grade level? Anyway, since the grade level courses were filled with black and Hispanic students while the accelerated courses had mostly white, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? But district officials claim the changes were necessary to create better equity. You need to turn your camera on, dude. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm watching your face. This is prime. Were you in algebra? Do you love algebra?
I loved any math.
Did you really?
Yes.
What is wrong with you? I was the kid who sat there every day going, I'll never use this stuff. This is stupid. I hated math.
I hated English.
Okay, that was just the opposite. I loved English, history, all that. But
no.
But math, ooh, no. And by the way, then I went off to what's called Army Pathfinder School, and it was all algebraic formulas to determine wind, distance, and, you know, drop zones and all of it. I quickly learned that algebra really works. all right. So, yeah, they're afraid that students will internalize it. They believe the smart kids are then the white kids. No, it's the fault of the school system. How about this? How about recognize that race does not mean smart? And you can have black and Hispanic kids who can do algebra, maybe you ought to teach them up. Maybe you ought to encourage them in their capability as opposed to just saying, you know what, I think we ought to do away with algebra. too many white kids and Asian kids in there. You got to watch them white. Those are inscrutable kids, whites and Asians. Boggles my mind. All right, Boomer, did you hear about Disney's latest flap?
No.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
Wait, there was something out?
It is
there was
now, anything it out? It is now snow woke. It is like way snow woke.
Aww.
So there, a picture slipped out. I kid you not. So, all right. I mean, you and I grew up Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, right?
Right.
Sleepy, sneezy,
dopey. Grumpy.
Grumpy. All of them.
All of them. Yeah.
Okay. No. That is not racially diverse enough.
Oh, no.
Keep in mind, this is a legend that stems from, you know, Germany, where you can imagine the demographics in, like, you know, mid-century Germany back in, like, the 1700s. So the picture, they're doing a live-action version of Snow White. And a picture got out, and I had heard somebody say, it looks like Snow White and the seven culturally diverse hobos from San Francisco.
Oh, man.
But they were, I mean, one was black. They're all full grown. Only one of them was a dwarf in real life. And there's blacks and Asians, and one of them may have even been a female. I feel certain somebody was gay in the mix. I have no idea. All I know is you look at it and go, that is not Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. That is ridiculous. Well, Disney tried to deny it first. Oh, no, that's not an official photo. Then they came back the next day and went, actually, it was like a photo, but it was not official yet.
Oh, it wasn't official. I got it.
Matt Walsh got hold of it from Daily Wire. So this is pretty hilarious. Photos from Disney's woke Snow White leaked, and they were mocked so heavily that Disney panicked and claimed it was fake, and then a day later had to admit that it was actually real. And he points out what I just said. He goes, Snow White is a 19th century German fairy tale. Her name literally means her skin color, Snow White. They've cast a Hispanic girl as Snow White. Because, I don't know, it's just important that we have equity in fairy tales too, I suppose. God, go figure.
They're just getting their hand in everything.
Whatever. Okay. Next story I got before we wind up hitting a break. Did you guys ever see Sound of Freedom yet? Have y'all seen it yet?
We have not seen it yet.
Oh, man, I encourage you. You know, it's about to hit $100 million
That's awesome.
At the box office.
Yeah, so Court, she gets really involved in the movies.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, maybe I should just buy a ticket and you can go. Like, she wants to buy two tickets and I'm just going to go by myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like,
because she I mean, that hits really home to her, and it really bothers her. And so, I mean, she just stayed up almost all night the other night just crying about it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a big thing on her heart.
Well, it's huge. So, mm-hmm. And by the way, her tender heart is on the money here. Because, mm-hmm. but so here's something, and this is where you look at it. This is woke world, but it's almost the kind of thing where you think, why hadn't somebody been arrested in this yet? Mm. So here's the situation. Post-millennial, dated yesterday. Former spokesperson for a pedophile advocacy group writes a piece in Bloomberg targeting the anti-child sex trafficking film Sound of Freedom. I kid you not, the guy's name is Berlatsky. And Berlatsky, right, he used to be the spokesperson for a group called Prostasia. And Prostasia is a pedophile support group. They, let's see, where's that piece of the article that talks about it? It says, Prostasia is a not-for-profit, has the mission of legitimizing pedophiles and removing the stigma of pedophilia, has individuals they call minor attracted persons. They're not pedophiles, they're minor attracted persons. They have a support club where they have peer support chats for minor attracted people who are fundamentally against child abuse, sex abuse, but they're also committed to never letting the idea of saving kids get in the way of proper relationships. I'm just telling you, man, this is where parts of the world are going right now. Berlatsky became the spokesperson for Prostasia in 2021 and wrote that the Sound of Freedom is nothing more than a QAnon dog whistle that does little to help victims who are too often in the movie portrayed as overly sympathetic and innocent. Well, they're children, and I kid you not. And Bloomberg published it. Berlatsky has written about child trafficking, saying that the term trafficking itself is misleading. He writes that it conflates underage people trading sex and consensual sex work and immigration and labor exploitation in industries. First of all, there's no such thing as consensual sex with a child. There is not. That's called statutory rape. That's abuse. And this guy is literally out there with a straight face, dude, with a straight face writing this thing as someone who believes that pedophilia is an acceptable thing because all you are is a minor attracted person. I'm going to tell you, this makes vigilantism look pretty good. I just find myself thinking there is no reason why someone like this should be allowed to continue doing what he does. Even goes on to say here, his group, Prostasia, works on addressing the human rights impacts of these child protection laws. The human rights impacts and communicating the results of their research and engagement to policymakers in order to try and mitigate the effects of these, you know, aggressive legislation. It's just messed up. All right, I'm gonna jump over to maybe something funnier when we get back from the break. Let's go ahead and take the break right now. We're in Adventures in Woke World. How about this one? Did you know that PBS ran a piece that says that domestic violence is what's really happening when it comes to saving kids from being aborted? It's reproductive coercion. I kid you not. But let's talk about Johnny the Walrus. That's the funniest story I think I've got. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Oh, making common sense a superpower. So I've got a story here. We're in Adventures in Woke World, and I've got more stuff than we have time. Because top of the hour, we're going to be going to a phone call with Adam Thompson from Americans for Prosperity. But in the meantime, I got to tell you, I love it. I love it when liberals get owned, like especially when it's a self-own and they don't even know it. And then they find afterwards, and they're like, they're aghast. So here's a story. I pulled this off a website, believe it or not, called Must Read Alaska. And it was dated yesterday. So apparently, this past Saturday, in Fairbanks, Alaska, the Fairbanks North Star School Board, a candidate for school board named Michael Humphrey, and he's a conservative, and he's running on a conservative platform, he put a float in the parade. And he won. He won the prize. It was a giant walrus, a giant inflatable walrus, towed behind a van in the Golden Days Parade on this past Saturday. And beneath the walrus's tusks hung a sign that just said, Johnny. It's Johnny the Walrus. And the judges awarded the walrus a top prize, like big doings. And then the fun started because somebody figured out, holy cow, Johnny the Walrus is a character from Matt Walsh from Daily Wire's book that's pro-child and talks about resisting transgenderism. And one of the judges, who's a hardline leftist, went ballistic and like went to Twitter trying to apologize for everything she'd ever done wrong in life and did not know that Johnny the Walrus was transphobic and she didn't mean to give him a prize. And anyway, she goes on to say, the judge does, we feel sick about it. Especially how it reflects on our community. Those who don't know, the judges did not have context. We thought, well, the guy with the parade float has a mustache, kind of like a walrus. We're in Alaska. It's an inflatable walrus. Okay. In other words, they looked at a float and thought, that's the best float in the parade. But had they but known that the name Johnny the Walrus leads to a book by Matt Walsh about why transgenderism is just, you know, locking kids into stuff that they shouldn't be in.
And then they started backpedaling.
And then they're like, holy cow, what do we do? By the way, the book, here's the thing. The book Johnny the Walrus is written by Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire. And the description of the book's plot says, Johnny is a little boy with a big imagination. One day he pretends to be a big scary dinosaur. The next day he's a knight in shining armor or a puppy. And when the internet people find out that Johnny likes to make believe, though, he is forced to make a decision between what he is and things he pretends to be. And he's not allowed to change his mind. What they're saying there is the book is about how kids have imaginations. And they they imagine things and they'll be, I mean, I was a superhero. I was a different superhero every day of the week. Then I was a cowboy and then I was a soldier and then whatever. All said and done, kids have imaginations. And you can't look at what they say and go, I think that's a girl's toy. You must be a little girl. You have to make a decision and you're stuck with it, whatever it is. That's what the book's about. Says, as for the parade judge's meltdown, I love the way this article closes out. I'd like to know who wrote this article. Actually, it might say on here. Suzanne Downing of Must Read Alaska says, as for the parade judge's meltdown, it went largely unnoticed in Fairbanks. As there was a rubber ducky race to attend on Saturday with 8,000 yellow rubber ducks, all of which had undetermined genders, heading down the river. It's, oh, my gosh. The things that libs just get freaked out about. And I love it. They got owned. Okay, here's one for you. Our men and women in blue, by the way, this show will always back the blue. Our men and women in blue have been, over the last few years, really facing things you never would have thought you'd see, right? Defund the police. Anti-police sentiments being not just from people on the street, but from the governmental entities that actually fund the police. You got city council people, county commissioners, mayors, all jumping on the defund the police and the police are bad bandwagon. You got race riots throughout the nation, the George Floyd protests that were all basically stemming allegedly from a protest of systemic police racism and brutality. Well, it's gotten so bad in some locales, Los Angeles being one, that the head of the, or the vice president of the LA Police Union just went ahead and encouraged officers in that city to go ahead and ditch their city and go work elsewhere. That's how bad it is. The vice president of the union in Los Angeles said, go somewhere that respects the work you do and you don't have to beg for a good contract. Go somewhere that has a city council or a city manager that openly acknowledges the great work you do. Go somewhere that doesn't have two or more city council members who actually hate you. No exaggeration, it says. The city has already, by the way, lost 1,000 officers in the last few years. And this person, her name is Jaretta Sandoz. She's the vice president of the union. Expressed displeasure as the city continues to lose more and more officers who are frustrated with treatment by city officials and that they find extremely discouraging to have to serve. Meanwhile, crime and homelessness are through the roof in LA. I mean, that's amazing to me that you're looking at the head of the union or one of the heads of the union saying, you know what, fellas, just go work somewhere else. That's how bad it is. Let's don't even try to sugarcoat this. Just go work somewhere. Notice that she didn't say, stop being police officers. She said, stop being police officers where they don't care about you. Come to Alabama. We love our police officers. Last one I've got for time, I guess. Maybe even not for time. Let's see. PBS NewsHour hates the overturning of Roe v. Wade, according to Newsbusters article yesterday. They hate the overturning of Roe v. Wade and abortion on demand so much that they decided to relate it to domestic violence. That's the thing. That's the latest argument. If we had more abortion, we'd have less domestic violence. What? Yes, it's reproductive coercion. What? Here's the thing. They say long before the Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade, ending the constitutional right to an abortion, they say, researchers noticed a link between women having abortion access and reduced risk of violence. Sure. Sure they did. PBS health reporter Laura Santhanam picked up the leftist ball saying, so each year, 12 million people are affected by domestic violence. And part of what perpetuates that violence? Isolation of victims by abusers. And overnight, we saw in many places the loss of access to nearby abortions just evaporate and people began to suffer. Oh, so that's it. So if we kill babies, there's less domestic violence. You can't make this stuff up. Woke world. Resist, people. Resist at all cost. All right, hey, listen. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back. Going to Dipper number 3, sharing the battle space. What conservative groups are out there? I got a new one for you. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.